Fine, and we move into the new stuff here today, the clarification of the concern. The clarification of the concern. This portion of Thessalonians, as we look at it here, is the only and the most extensive portion of Scripture that speaks to a person called, we call him the Antichrist. It's a world leader. You know, we've been watching recently, and we've been watching North Korea, and we look at Kim Jong-un, and what's he doing as a world leader? And we wonder, okay, the rhetoric is building, and now it seems to be settling down a little bit, and all this kind of stuff. These world leaders, and there will be a world leader, and what Paul is doing at this point is trying to tell these people there's going to be a world leader, and I'm going to tell you about him to help clarify the fact that you're not in the day of the Lord. So let's look at this here, the clarification of the concern here. And as we look at that by Paul, and let's see this here, and let's look at this, and we'll get into this in even more detail next week. Verse number 3, Paul says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means." And he was, as he's trying to clarify, he said, you have been deceived. And we'll look at the idea of deception in another week. But we know that the father of the devil, not our father, but the father of the world, the devil, he's a great deceiver. And somebody had come in and deceived them about these things. Okay? He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there first come a falling away. And he says this, that the man of sin be revealed. And he calls him the son of perdition. These are titles. There's this ruler that's coming around soon in the world. You know, do you ever stop and realize that he could be alive today? Right now, he could be alive. Just waiting for God to bring everything together, to put all the pieces in place, to begin the next event. But he calls him this man of lawlessness, this man of sin. We'll just study that in a little more detail. And go down to verse number 8 of this chapter. He says this, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall be destroyed with the brightness of his coming, the wicked one, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan. Interesting, this one who will be there will be satanically influenced and satanically inspired. I shared with you 3 weeks ago, I did some reading in regards to another person, and they talked about the idea of Adolf Hitler and how much demonism was involved in the Third Reich. Tremendous amounts of demonism, tremendous amounts of Far Eastern thought and Far Eastern religion, and how that Hitler had brought these types of people back into the Reich. And how they were teaching the leaders at that time. Tremendous amount. And what's happening here, this ruler that's yet to come, and Paul's saying, hey guys, you haven't missed it yet. You know, we're not in the day of the Lord, because this person that's coming is going to be so empowered by Satan. So empowered by Satan. And what do we know about Satan? Satan, Paul writes and says, he comes as an angel of what? A light. An angel of light. And initially, when this person comes on the scene in this world, there's going to be tremendous, tremendous deception, because he's going to truly look like this is finally what this planet needs. I heard somebody say the other day on a commentary that there are those in our nation right now who are pushing for a benevolent despot. I went, whoa, I remember hearing that in history class years ago. What do you mean by that? A benevolent dictator. We need a dictator in America who's loving. We don't need Congress. We don't need the two houses of Congress. We don't need a judiciary. We just need a loving leader. And a leader like that takes control, that will happen, appear to happen someday. And so we think about that. He's influenced by Satan, as Paul talks about him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. And Paul said, you haven't seen that yet. You haven't seen that. And then he goes back to, and I just wanted to turn you back to verse 5 in this section that we'll take in more detail. And Paul says this, don't you remember when I was with you, I told you about this? don't you remember when I was with you? I would have loved to have been in that church service. I don't think it was a church service like we know it, but I would have loved to be in that training time, that service. And listen to Paul fill in the gaps. Because that's our struggle with this portion of Scripture. Paul said something, and then he writes a letter to remind them certain points, but we didn't get the dialogue that took place. And I thought, well, that would have been a good service to be in. And it could have gone, oh, that makes sense. It makes sense. And so what Paul was saying at this point to try to clarify, he said, remember, for you and I, as we watch what's happening around us, we've got to remember. Remember what? Who's in control? We've got to remember that God lifts up one and he puts down another. And the king's hearts of this world are in the Lord's hands, and like the rivers of water, he directs them wherever he wants to. Meandering, maybe a washout. And what we have to do in regards to our concern with the things around us, and again, I think many of us have to turn off the TV and turn off the radio too. And we will probably create greater peace within our souls. Yet we have to be informed of what's going on. The other day I didn't have the TV on, and so I met up with Dad, and Dad and I were talking for a minute. He says, hey, did you hear what's going on in Spain? I said, no, what? I went back and turned the TV on to find out what was going on in Spain. And the terrorists were killing people. Well, by the way, anybody get somebody knock on your door in the past couple of days? There's a guy by the name of, yeah, my wife did, yeah. The guy by the name of Abdul L. something. And he's trying to run for governor of the state of Michigan. And there are Arabic people going around trying to garner support for him. At my house yesterday, he wasn't, but one of his proteges were. And the girl asked me, would you sign a petition for Democratic governor? I'm sorry, I don't vote Democrat. So I sent her on her way. I should have signed it and said, you know, if we got a guy like that running for governor, man, the other person's got a better chance. Yeah. But when you stop and you see what's happening around us, remember. And that's what Paul told to this church. He said, remember. And what do we remember? We remember what the Word has to say to us. We remember what God has to say to his children. What he says to the sheep of his pasture. And sometimes when these events happen and this concern, Paul says, hey, wait a minute, slow down, and be careful. Remember, as verse 5 says here, remember, don't you remember when I was with you, I told you about this? Now, I can't tell you everything, but you got the book that I've got. And you want to dig into it, you want to scratch through it, and you want to find something out. And if you need some help finding something, give me a holler. You know, but remember what you've studied. Remember what you've read. Remember what God has done. Remember the cross. Remember the blood. Remember your salvation. Remember that peace. And Paul talks to this church and he clarifies for them at this point, as they were concerned about, they were going through this great time of judgment. Paul says, no, you're not there yet. And I'm going to talk about one major person during that great time of judgment, and I'll share with you why you're not there yet. But we're not there yet ourselves. Okay, so let's go on here. Let's see what else by John. The clarification of the concern by John. Now, if you'll do this with me, go to the book of 1 John. Go back in your Bibles, move back towards the end of the Bible to the book of 1 John. John himself is the one who speaks a lot of, and using the term antichrist, antichristos. Okay? And that brings another thought. Anybody see anything on the news this past week or around America about Corpus Christi? There's a plague going around. It's been banned from certain parts of Europe. It is coming to America. It's called Corpus Christi, which is the body of Christ. And what it is, it's a movie of Christ and his disciples based upon homosexuality. It's blasphemous. It's blasphemous. And there are people that are trying to circulate petitions to keep it out of certain areas. But they were able to do it in certain parts of Europe, but it's come to America, and they're trying to circulate this in America and have the American people look at the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the disciples in Christ, and how that they were homosexuals. And you stop and you say to yourself, Lord, how much longer? And so when you see this, you begin to, it's like as adults, you get together and the grandkids are running around. And the grandkids are running around yesterday, and Josh and I were talking a little bit, and to the grandkids, and here's Candace going, shh, 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 you know, little ears. Be careful what you're talking about. And we were talking about adult conversation. We're thinking, you know, what do we think? Well, the kids aren't listening. Probably they are. And it's at a point that you have to be so careful what you have to say because of the garbage that's going on around us. Antichristos. Let's come back here. The word itself means two things. It could mean against Christ. Antichristos means against Christ, or it can also mean very accurately in the place of Christ. In the place of Christ. And both of those are very accurate translations of the word Antichrist. Now, we'll see in the weeks ahead here with this world ruler, Antichrist, that literally he will be initially in the place of Christ. And then we'll see he will be against Christ. But both of those are very, very important to think about. And John talks about this individual that Paul was talking about. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. And we're going to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of scratching here today for a reason to give us a better understanding of what's going on. John writes this in 1 John 2 and 18. Little children, it is the last time. Now understand this. When John wrote that, the last time has a scenario or a significance of being the time from Christ being on this earth until the end. The term in Scripture when it talks about last times is a period of time beginning with Christ's presence until he comes back. So John is writing about the last times. We are living in the last times. They were living in the last times. But we think our last times are closer than theirs. They were. They are. Okay? And he says this, little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Future. Now, get that for a moment. What did John say to these believers? He says, you heard already that Antichrist is going to come. Well, where did they hear that? Paul? We'll look at it in a moment. The book of Daniel. And as the Old Testament was used and opened up and explained to the New Testament believers at this point, they took these Old Testament portions of Scripture and said, hey, here's something that's going to happen. Here's somebody's going to be on the scene. And they talk about that. And so John is writing at this point and speaking to them about something they had already heard, something that had already been exposed to. This person called Antichrist. And he says here, you have heard that Antichrist is going to come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last times. There's many people out there today standing in opposition to Christ. There are some people who have tried to claim that they are the Messiah. They are the Anointed One in the place of Christ. Nothing new under the sun. John was dealing with it in his era. At his time, we deal with the same thing today. And as John is writing here, and we're seeing these thoughts that are taking place in John chapter 1 John 2:18, he says, whereby we know that it is the last time. And they heard something. And then that verse is interesting too, because that Antichrist, and you don't see it here in the King James, maybe you see it in some of your translations, but the word Antichrist, the first word has a definite article before it. You can say, oh, English class again. Yeah, the Antichrist. As in opposition to many Antichrists. And John was telling those people at this time, he says, you know, you watch the world around you, there is going to be one individual, the Antichrist, who will come on the scene. There are now many Antichrists. But as John was writing this, and he's writing this to these believers, he said, I'm telling you something you've already heard. But he had to remind them. For many of us, we may have heard this, but we need a reminder. Why? Because we watch things happening around us, and we watch world leaders and world leadership and world politics, and we're going to go, Paul says, remember, remember. Go down to chapter 2 and verse 22. John writes this, and he says this. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Any person that's out there that denies the deity of Jesus Christ, John says, is an Antichrist. And what John was dealing with at this time, that there was one who was going around trying to spread that around. And so the idea in this day and age, if you find people say, oh, no, Jesus Christ was just a good man, he was just a prophet, these are antichrists. And we must be aware of that. What does Islam say about Jesus? He was a prophet. He was not the Son of God. What is Islam? Antichrist. Antichrist. Against, in the place of. And John defines this as we stop and think about what's happening in the world around us. 1 John 4, 1 John 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what? Antichrist. All right? Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in this world. And he says this, you're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And John's having to encourage the people at this very moment there, as he was writing to them, that there's this spirit of Antichrist that's be going around. And this spirit of Antichrist here, denying that Christ came in the flesh, there are people who don't believe that. They try to do away with the message of Jesus Christ. Antichrist. Antichrist. And then finally in 2 John 2, in 2 John verse 7, go to 2 John. Paul writes here, for many deceivers, and here we go. And what did Paul say to the church of Thessalonica? Thessalonica, you the one? You've been deceived. What's John write? Many deceivers are entering into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This one who will come on the world scene one day will be one who will betray this to the world. Guess what? It's happening during the day of the Lord, and it's when we won't be here. Keep that in mind. We won't be here. And so John deals with this, and as John deals with it, he says, remember, you heard about this. And for us to remember, what have we heard? What do we know? What do we know about these things? But where did they get their information? Remember, at this point in time, they're writing the letter. The letter's not been penned yet, and it's not been canonized. So where are they getting their information from? We have to go back to the book of Daniel. Go back to the book of Daniel now. Let's go back to Daniel. And it started at 9. Daniel 9. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Go back to Daniel. Now, we went into some detail in the not too distant past about verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, who again? The Jews, and upon the holy city, which is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the fourth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. That's 69 weeks. And there shall be again built again in the walls, even in troublesome times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Not for himself, but the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end of thereof shall be like a flood, and unto the end the war of desolations are determined. Where do they get this idea of this world leader? They went to the Old Testament scriptures. John, Paul, other men of the Old Testament, they had to go back to the Old Testament scriptures and deal with what Daniel had to say. And now we know that portion of scripture there, and we've talked about it in some detail. I saw something the other day that was kind of unique. I never noticed it this way before. How many years was Israel in captivity to Babylon? 70 years, okay? And it was because they had not kept the seventh year of the Sabbath. You remember that? God told the nation of Israel, when you go into the land, he says, 6 years I want you to plant. And year number six, you're going to have double crops. Because year seven, time out. Let it rest. And you're going to have enough to sustain you to year eight's harvest. The Jews never did that. So for 70 years they went into captivity. The Lord said, because you have not kept what? My Sabbaths. For 490 years... the Jews were paying for what they didn't do. But what happens here with the next 490 years? See the parallel? 49 weeks, 7 years of weeks, 490 years. All of a sudden, 70, 40, and all of a sudden, what we find here is the fact that God judged them for 490 years, and he prepared them for 490 years for the coming of the Messiah. Interesting how God works. And so we look at Daniel's 70th week there, and we see that there's one that's going to come who's going to be a world leader. Go to chapter, now let's back up to chapter 7. Let's see what this guy's like just a little bit here. Chapter 7, verse number 21. And I beheld, and the same horde made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be like the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. Now, did you ever stop? How many heard, and people were speculating that our former president could have been the Antichrist? Anybody hear that? I did. And then I read this portion of scripture and said, it's impossible. Because the Antichrist is a world military conqueror. Our former president wasn't that at all. No, let's surrender and walk away. So it couldn't have been the Antichrist. But what do we find about this guy? He will come, and it says he will devour the whole earth. As Paul's talking, this leader is going to step up, and he's going to devour the earth. He's going to be so powerful in that way. And there's many ways to look at that, and there's different things there. But as you stop and you see what was happening here, this one that he's talking about here, this one of the ten horns, and we'll see that in another week, because I want to draw this picture together for you. In some portions you have horns, in some portions you have crowns, in some portions you have this ruler, and I want to draw that together for you so the scriptures tie themselves together, and here's what they were looking at, and here's what they were understanding. But this world leader that's going to come on the scene, we find what he has to say here, and he's a powerful guy. And in verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Now again, that's a phrase there that's used to connect this person throughout the scriptures, and we'll see that in another week or so. Time, times, and a half time, or dividing of times. Who this individual is coming from the book of Daniel and how it pulls into the future. But it's interesting here to look at this and see what's going on. So there you have that. And go to chapter 8, verse 23 of Daniel. And what do we read there?
And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Who's the same guy they're talking about? Don't have time to draw it together at this moment. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy men many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. What do you have here again? This leader, this one Paul's talking about, this son of perdition, this man of lawlessness, what's happening here? There's a ruler coming. Not here yet, folks. Not here. Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, and this is an interesting one too. Just some quick thoughts on this guy. This is what, again, the people at Paul's time, the people at John's time, had to learn about this person through Daniel. Chapter 11, verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. Benevolent dictator, huh? Okay. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, there's one phrase in the middle there that theologians come up with basically two thoughts of understanding. When this leader shall not desire shall not honor the desire of women, the two thoughts are this. Number one is that through women and through their ideas of having the Messiah, he has no concern for children and childbearing or anything like that. The other interpretation is that he has no desire for women. Which mean what? Sexuality. We see across this planet, right, a tremendous proliferation of acceptance of that lifestyle as being okay and normal. And if the interpretation of Daniel here is one of those two, then I would sit back and I would kind of perk up just a little bit and say, the world's got to be ready for this kind of a person. And what's the world doing? Getting the world ready for that kind of a person. Anywhere you go. And so as Paul was talking to these, and he's clarifying by this person that they were not in this year of the Lord, the day of the Lord, he's kind of bringing them down a few notches. He says, look, you're going to see this on the radar, you're going to see this on the horizon, calm yourselves. But you stop and say, well, what's that mean to me? Well, let's go one more spot yet. The concentration by the Christians. The concentration by the Christians. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Where should we be focused? You know, I'm talking about some stuff you say. I'm saying, well, what's this? How's this going to help me to next week, to next Sunday? And we're going to talk about this world ruler. Well, I hope it's bringing some insight to you, to bring some peace to your heart. But Peter talks about the same thought to those believers at that time. And Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse number 10. He says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, okay? The same thing that the people of Thessalonica were struggling with because they thought they were in the day of the Lord. Peter says it's going to come, as a thief in the night. And he goes on and says this, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now let's stop for a moment. The day of the Lord can have more fulfillments. Keep that in mind. What Peter's talking about is the complete annihilation of this creation. That's also the day of the Lord. Paul was talking to these believers that the day of the Lord had not yet come. But what does Peter say to these believers when he talks about the day of the Lord? Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? He says, you're looking for the day of the Lord? How are you living? How are you living? In godliness and holy conduct. As I share these thoughts with you about the Antichrist, and I share these thoughts with this world ruler that's going to come on the scene, and I share these thoughts about being aware and being at peace and remembering, Peter shares the same thoughts. And he says to the believers of that time, he says, keep this in mind, the day of the Lord. And because you are looking for that, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night and shall melt. And these are going to take place here. Seeing then, looking at all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conduct and godly spirit? Looking, there's verse 12 again. Looking for and hastening or desiring the Lord's return, desiring the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look, there it is again, for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Are we looking for his return? Are we looking for a land and a world in which righteousness will prevail? And as we're looking for that, how are we living? Are we living in godly conduct and holy conduct and having a spirit of godliness that's found within us? So when the world sees us, they see a picture of Jesus. And the concentration that we're supposed to have as Christians is not based upon the internet or YouTube or Facebook or anything like that. It's based upon the Word of God. A proper interpretation of the Word of God. Are we looking and yearning and desiring His soon return? That's what Peter said. That's how we should be living. And I know there's, again, we've said this before, there's those of us who have loved ones that maybe aren't saved. And if I yearn that too quickly, will God come back and take them away? Well, take me away, destroy them. And what we have to stop and realize that you and I, as we live today, as we live tomorrow, what kind of godly conduct are we living? What kind of godly spirit are we portraying? Where really is our focus? Are we looking for his return? Or are we looking around us and thinking, wow, the stock market's done pretty good since Trump became president? If you got any kind of retirement account, you've probably seen that. Are we looking at that? Are we looking and saying, oh man, Lord, forget retirement accounts. I want to retire in heaven. Just take me up from here when I turn whatever. I don't know. I'm not thinking about retiring yet, folks. Don't worry about that. Okay. But it sure would be great to retire in his presence. And that's what Peter had to say to those believers. How do you see this happening around you? And where's your focus? And where's our focus? YouTube, Facebook, internet, or the Bible. The Bible. Now, that doesn't mean you can't find good Bible teaching on those things. But you better be careful. Why? Because as Paul talks to the church in Thessalonica next week, they were being deceived. And how many Christians today are being deceived by what they read on anything but the Bible? You know, the latest one, like I say, September 23rd, the rapture, based upon Revelation chapter 12 and the Zodiac. Nah. You know, but people are having to answer those questions. And so today, as we stop and we think about this, and here's a church that was struggling, a church where the believers were being persecuted. They were dying, possibly. And Paul had to come back and said, remember, remember. And for us to take ourselves back there, remember what we've read. Remember what we've studied. Remember what we've been taught about the Word of God. Find comfort, find peace, find solace there. Find encouragement, find joy there. Looking forward to the day when, man, it is all going to be said and done. And every ounce of vengeance that you have in your heart will be taken care of by God. Don't tell me you don't wish sometimes people would get caught. I do too. I know it's my flesh. Okay? But the fact that God will finally take care of it all. And we'll step back and we'll say, wow, righteousness. And that's how we live. That's how we live. Let's pray. Father, today we deal with a portion of Scripture that's tough. It's difficult, but it's found in the Word. It's found at different spots in the Word, and we can't neglect these portions of Scripture. And Lord, I know sometimes we look at them and say, okay, it's academic today, and we have this knowledge, this understanding. But Lord, this knowledge and this understanding should do something within our own hearts and our own minds to help us to see our Lord and our Savior in a new light. To bring a sense of comfort and peace in our hearts and our minds as we watch what's happening in the world around us. And may we better understand the God who loves us, the God who saved us, the God who sacrificed for us. He bled and he died so that we might have salvation. Father, today, if there's someone in this room that hasn't accepted you yet as their only way to heaven, as the only way of gaining entrance into your presence, as the only way of finding forgiveness of sins, may they do that today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around again. If events happened and unfolded, all of a sudden, boom, and there was a nuclear bomb somewhere, would you be ready for it? And if you're not, God says, hey, I can give you peace. I can let you know that you can be sure, no matter what happens around you, that you will spend eternity with me in heaven. And if you're not sure of that, we'd love to help you to be sure today from the Word of God. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up and put it down. Anybody like that right now? Just real quickly. Believers today, I think we just need to, again, as we watch the things that are happening around us and we see what's taking place, we gotta get our hearts and our minds back wrapped around our Lord and our Savior and the God of the universe and the love that he has for us. And find peace. And find peace. And so, Father, may we look eagerly and expectantly for your return. Knowing that so much that we studied this morning is signs yet to happen and things that we don't have to worry about, to give us a sense of hope and a sense of comfort that when we see these things or hear of these things beginning to open up, oh, the time is near. Keep our eyes focused heavenward. And this week, give us opportunities to share the peace that we have with a world that's not at peace. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.